Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to Season 2, Episode 5 of the Fly the W670 podcast. We're calling this one The Cubs Got Trey Mancini. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and subscribe to the Fly the W podcast. Here's a conversation with the Marquee Network's Cole Wright.
Joining me now on the Fly the W podcast, you know him as the host of the pregame and postgame coverage on Cubs Live, Cubs 360, and Cubs Classics, and much, much more. He is the ringmaster of the Marquee Network, Cole Wright. Cole, how are you doing today, buddy?
Hey, Crawley, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Thank you. The ringmaster. I like that a lot. That's not the normal backdrop. You at work right now?
Yeah, you know, it's always sometimes it's wherever I can get a recording done. That's where we get it done. But yeah, not the normal backdrop, like not the clubhouse. But, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. First time I ever really was introduced. I know, Cole, you love every sport and you've covered every sport. But the first time I really kind of was introduced to you was CubsCon 2020 when they were kind of rolling out the big marquee debut. And that had to have been amazing for you because you grew up Chicago area native, right? What, Naperville, Joliet area?
Yeah, born in Joliet, lived there till I was 12, moved to Naperville, lived in Naperville, Aurora, you know, lived in Aurora more so than Naperville. You know, my parents, they now live back in Naperville. But yeah, I mean, just lived in the area my whole life, you know, grew up a Cubs fan. I mean, obviously Ryan Sandberg, Andre Dawson, Lee Smith. I mean, those were the guys that really made those first impressions on me. I mean, whether it was Luis Salazar, Vance Law, Leon Durham, I mean, those are the guys that I grew up with. Those guys were the soundtrack to my summer. So, you know, at Cubs convention this year, to be able to sit there with Mark Grace and Sean Dunstan and to watch those guys just have real life friend conversations, not just baseball conversations, just things about life in general. I mean, it was a pretty surreal moment, and they continue to be surreal moments because, like I said, these are the guys I grew up watching, and you know, to now be able to share a piece of their lives with them, it's nuts.
So do you remember the first time you ever went to Wrigley Field?
I've been to so many different games. I don't necessarily remember the very first time I went to Wrigley Field.
Early memories that you have. Earliest memories you got at Wrigley Field.
I'm trying to think. I just remember in when I was in high school that I would go with my dad and we would go. I mean, my earliest concrete memory, which I know probably flushed everything else out. Because I know I went to Wrigley Field before the All-Star game. But I mean, we did a cartoon, a caricature of it, because I went to Wrigley Field for the All-Star game. And I remember sitting on the step at my house on the front porch. There were these black chairs that were wire, and they're like little crisscrosses. And I think we got them at Adventure, but here nor there. My pops asked me that night. It was, you know, obviously a summer night, the sun was setting, and I was just coming in from doing whatever in the neighborhood. And my pops was like, "Hey, you want to go to the All-Star game tomorrow? It's at Wrigley Field." And I was so excited. I'm like, you have tickets to the All-Star game? And he's like, I didn't ask you that. He's like, do you want to go to the game tomorrow? So I said, of course I wanted to go to the game. So we got up bright and early, went down there. We're circling around Wrigley Field the whole time. And I didn't know what we were doing. And eventually I saw Renee Latchman walking into the side door right across from the side door that used to be there, right across from the fire station. And I remember just looking at his hand, the World Series ring that was on his hand was enormous. And you know, I liked the A's back then. Most kids did. I mean, who didn't like Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco and Ricky Henderson and Dave Henderson and Carney Lansford? That squad was hot. Either way, so we were still waiting to get in because they hadn't pulled up the gates yet. So when they pulled up the actual like storm door, the metal gates, they were just like the ones that had the slats. So we kept walking around again, and you know, my pops eventually saw a girl that was like 16 years old, and he showed her $100 bill. And we got in. As soon as they pulled the gates up, we went straight in. And it was raining that day, so it's not like it was a sellout because there were empty seats, people didn't want to go. And we ended up sitting right next to the stealth bomber pilots that did the flyover. And at one point, I was in the restroom, and I hear from behind me, like, "Hey, come on, kid, hurry up. Other people got to use the bathroom too." And it was Jim Harbaugh as I was walking off. Because I'm sure he thought I was a much older kid than what I was, because like I said in the story before, man, I was – an abnormally large 12-year-old, so he probably thought I was about 16 or 17. So I'd never met Jim Harbaugh to this day. You know, when I get the chance to meet him, I want to be, you know, did you enjoy that All-Star game? Like if he wonders how I knew he was there, I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw you on the Jumbotron. But we all know there was no Jumbotron there. I don't know if he would know that or not. But either way, yeah, that's my first solid concrete memory, and I think it really did flush all my other memories of Wrigley Field out of there. That came before that, because I mean, it was such a memorable day. Ricky Henderson threw my dad a ball. I mean, he dropped it. So
that's a pretty darn good first memory, because God, it's been since 1990 since we've had an All-Star game at Wrigley. So hopefully soon, right?
Yeah. Very soon.
So hopefully. You were talking, you were a big kid, and you know, you all of a sudden kind of burst on the Waubonsie Valley Chiefs baseball team, right? You pitched, and not only that, you were a hitter. You still have the record for game-winning hits, 9 out of 30 in a 32-win season. So like a third of the games, you hit the game-winning hit, Cole. That's pretty amazing.
Come on. And I still have it for a career, too, 14. That means that I was either really clutch, or there haven't been a whole bunch of clutch dudes that have come after me in, I don't know, 20 years or so. But I like to play with the game on the line. I mean, you want to go out there, you want to win the game. Like when you're a kid, you always dream like, hey, like bottom of the ninth, down by one, two men on, let's go get it. And it's not always that scenario, because you know that you could have the game winning hit like in the first inning. I mean, if that's right, how it goes down. But either way, to be able to say that, you know, you have that distinction, it just to me, I feel like I always try to play hard, and I always try to play to win. So if that is any kind of proof, then maybe it is. But I mean, like you said, I was a closer too, and I feel like when the game was on the line, like let's go, like put it on my shoulders, let's go get it. And it's just, I feel like that makes everything that much more fun, and I feel like that's just the competitor in me. And I feel like when you watch baseball and you're able to do a pre and a post game show, and you're able to navigate the waters and lead fans into that game, I feel like every day it's like a new, fresh competition, and it's fun like that because it is different every single day. No matter if you're playing the same team, you know, 3-4 games in a row, it's still different every single day. There's subtle nuances that you can touch on that from day to day, you know, can captivate the fan and reel people in, and that's what we try to do.
Now, you then go to college. You were at the University of Tennessee Martin, and you played some ball, and then you transferred to Briarcliff University, and you started, you worked towards a degree in communications. When did you kind of have that in your head that, hey, you know, I might want to do something as far as broadcasting is concerned?
Well, I did that when I was in junior college. I thought I was going to be an investment banker like my brother, which would have been bad for everybody who would have invested with me. I would have had a lot of cats knocking on my door under the cloak of darkness. But you know, sophomore year of college at Waubonsie, we had the ability to work off our spring trip. So when we were freshmen, we just worked at the concession stand, or, you know, helped pull out the bleachers, or were referees at the volleyball games. But as a sophomore, you had the opportunity to either call the games or run the shot clock, and not necessarily call the games, but be the PA announcer or run the shot clock. And I didn't really feel like running the shot clock because, you know, basketball is really not my thing. It wasn't then. It still isn't now. I feel like there would be some shot clock infractions and people would be looking at me in the middle of a game. So I didn't want that. So I said, you know what, maybe I'll just be the announcer. And, you know, I started getting into, you know, the starting lineups. I feel like, you know, being a kid in the 90s in Chicago and watching the Bulls do what they do and seeing the starting lineups, you know, at the United Center or Chicago Stadium, you know, those are pretty special. Like anytime you hear Sirius and the Alan Parsons Project, you know it's about to go down in Chicago. So that's one of the things that made me want to change my major, you know, continue that in finished up at Briarcliff, which, you know, lucky for us, we had a fantastic mass communications department. We were right up the street from Gateway Computers. I know those who are old enough
old school,
Gateway Computers are. Yeah. But they gave us a integrated multimedia lab that was next level. I mean, Creighton modeled theirs, I believe, after ours. And it was exclusive to the mass communications program. So, you know, we had, you know, back in 2001 and 2000, we had the dual screen computers. We had all that. So you could, you know, the linear editing. So you could do all that ahead of schedule. So I feel like we weren't as ahead of schedule as the kids are now, because they can edit on their phones and shoot everything on their phones and do everything from whenever they want to get started. But we did have, I feel like, a little bit of a leg up and the ability to do that and have an internship, you know, right up the street from school, which was crazy because I went to school in Iowa, I interned in South Dakota, and I worked in Nebraska, and each place was 10 minutes apart. So I was right in that triangle. And it, you know, after that, you know, I came back home and eventually got a job, man. It's time to get to work.
Yeah. And that first job, NBC in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, covering LSU and the Saints.
No, that was the third. That was the third job.
Third job.
That would have been fantastic. If that was my first job. yeah. Essentially, if that would have been my first job, that would have been unbelievable. But my first job was in West Texas, covering all the teams that were on the TV show or the movie Friday Night Lights. You know, I covered San Angelo Central, Odessa Permian, Odessa High, Midland Lee, all those schools. And, you know, got to see Colt McCoy. He went to Tuscola Gymnet. I covered him his senior year of high school. And that dude's still in the league, which is crazy. You know, shout out to Colt McCoy for doing his thing, man. And, you know, but, yeah, so then I went from one place in Texas, from San Angelo, Texas, to Tyler, Texas, and was only there for five months, and then I went to Baton Rouge, yeah.
Nice. And so, you know, that gets you, you know, LSU at New Orleans. So now that's, you know, obviously kind of much bigger level. And then you get to go to the NESN, the Northeast Sports Network. So that's the Boston Red Sox and the other Boston team, Celtics, Bruins, and Patriots. You're an ESPN jack of all trades. You go to Fox Sports in Los Angeles. So when I think about this here, you've covered the Red Sox, the Cubs, and the Dodgers, three very big, you know, epic franchises right there when you think about baseball. What do you think the differences are between the fan bases of the Red Sox, Dodgers, and Cubs? What kind of would you say sets Cub fans and kind of the media surrounding the Cubs apart?
You know, the funny thing about it is I feel like Cubs fans are a blend of Red Sox fans and Dodger fans. I feel like when it comes to the diehard, you know, Red Sox fans are always diehard. Sometimes it's to a fault. They'll boo their own players. We've seen that in Boston. We've seen that in New York. You rarely see that in Chicago. I mean, the one thing that Chicago fans do is, man, we support our team. I mean, as much sometimes as you want to boo them, You don't, because that's not what you do. That's your own squad. So that's the one thing I think when it comes to being diehards, which Cubs fans are, but they're friendly diehards and they're loyal diehards. They're not gonna boo their own guy. Like, that's my guy. Guess what? Because how's he gonna look at you when he turns it around and starts playing well? And I think that's sometimes why guys don't want to play in Boston. And when it comes to LA, that they're great fans as well, and they're not going to boo their fans. But I feel like the energy that they bring to the ballpark is the same energy that Cubs fans bring and have brought for years, more than any other franchise for such a string of consecutive seasons. And I just feel like, to me, Wrigley Field is my favorite ballpark of all time. Dodger Stadium, right behind it. Fenway Park, not so much. But there's other ballparks, and there's other reasons why I just feel like it's small. And maybe it's just because of when it was built. But Wrigley Field was built right around the same time, if I'm not mistaken, you know, 2 years after. And it's a lot bigger. I just feel like everything about Fenway is just – and when I worked – for the Reds, and no disrespect, I mean, it's a fantastic ballpark, rich in history, but there's just little things about it. Like, I felt like as a historic of a ballpark as it is, there's corporate signage everywhere. And that's the nature of the beast, because you see that at every single ballpark, and you're going to start to see it on uniforms as the years go on. But I feel like there just could have been just a little less. But like I said, epic ballpark, having gone there before and having taken batting practice there before, and, you know, and with the metal bat having gone yard, it's pretty special to see and to think what goes through a guy's head when he's taking hacks, you know, in live action there. Because, oh, it looks really close. It's only 318. Oh, easy. But then you're going to bang some off the wall, and sometimes you're going to swing straight under fastballs, because I feel like a ballpark can't do that to you. And that's like, you know, that's what Boston, I feel like it is. But getting back to the Cubs fans, I feel like they're a mix of both. They're a mix of Boston and LA, and I feel like you take the best parts from both of those teams, and I feel like that's what you get in a Cubs fan, the best of both worlds, and even better.
So forever, you know, there's been a lot of us that have been asking for a Cubs network, and finally, you know, the contracts come up and Marquee Network is born. When you heard about that, did you know right away, like, oh, I'm going to try to see what I can do to get in on that? Was that something that you were excited kind of jumping at?
Absolutely. I mean, I knew that from the very first time I heard it, and that was, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I mean, this is, you know, before the World Series. I mean, there was always rumblings that there was going to be a Cubs network. So I always said, I mean, hopefully at some point I'll be in a position to where I'll be able to go and get, you know, a position there. And that's what happened. And, you know, the way things go and the way things work, it worked out perfect for me, because, you know, as a kid that went to Wrigley Field and used to live right down the street from Wrigley. And I mean, obviously has pictures with my mom and dad when I was a kid in a Cubs hat, when I know I was probably about 4 years old at the Sears Tower. I mean, it's crazy. Like, being at Cubs convention, like, to announce all those guys, like, it's nuts, man. Like, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I mean, I wasn't an intern at NBC, but I used to sit in NBC's lobby and wait for Art Norman. So Art could look at my tapes and he would give me advice, and he would talk to me, and he helped me immensely along the way, and Werner Saunders and Allison Rosati, like, they all helped me along the way. So, you know, just to sit, and every time I walk into that Sheraton Grand and look across the street and see there's the NBC tower right there, and I used to sit and wait for those guys, and I used to wait tables at Bandera, you know, so from waiting tables on that second level right above the Timberland store at Bandera to, you know, waiting around at NBC to hosting Cubs convention, it's surreal.
Yeah, and you know, it's fun for me because, you know, it's just like, you guys have such a great team at Marquee. You know, you got Boogan, JD, Elise, you have Taylor McGregor. But especially for you, that kind of does, you know, the pre and post, they kind of rotate around a lot of players, you know, a lot of different kind of people take that second seat next to you. Are you, I mean, you seem like you're really comfortable with the different personalities, and you have to kind of adjust for each different person, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like it's just like when we're watching the game or we're getting ready for a show. I mean, it's just like how we are, you know, backstage, so to speak. You know, those are my guys. And I know that some guys are going to be more high energy than others. Some are going to want to talk more in a highlight. I'm going to need to involve this guy a little more, this guy a little bit less. And I feel like You know, it's one of the pieces of advice that I always give to, you know, kids in college that do the same thing, you know, that want to be that are aspiring broadcasters. I always tell them, when you're done with school, or even when you're in school, if you can wait tables, because it helps you with interview processes, either way. But it helps you, because some tables want to talk, some tables, you know, some tables don't. They want to know what's the fish of the day, what's the soup of the day. They just want the bare minimums. And sometimes you have to pull more out of tables because they do want to engage, but they're not necessarily going to be the ones that are going to initiate it. So I feel like that's how the interview process goes along too. Like, some people are going to be good interviews, some people aren't going to be good interviews. Some people are going to be better interviews when you meet them down the road. Tyrann Mathieu, one of the best interviews when he was at LSU, not one of the best interviews, but to see him come along over the years and to see what he's become, I mean, it's remarkable. So I feel like that's one of the things that I would always say, like, when it comes to just like giving out advice, to kids, go get a job waiting tables, even if it's only for 2 months. You might find out you can make a whole lot of extra money, and it's you know, it's a lot easier than doing some other stuff. And I would always tell young cats too, that first job, if you can avoid being a news anchor in addition to being a sports anchor, do that at all costs. Because some jobs you'll get, okay, you can be the weekend sports anchor, but then you'll have to host, or you'll have to do news 3 days a week, which means you'll have to do elections, and you'll have to do, you know, emergency situations. And one of the first things to get cut in local news is sports. So one of my pieces of advice is, you know, do sports. If you can find a job that's 5 days a week, sports, go ahead and get it, man, and take it. No matter where it's, if it's at a small market, go ahead, man, because in the small market I started out, like I told you, man, it was 197 out of like a potential, I think, 213 markets. So it might be 201 now. It's pretty small, man.
And I got to tell you, I saw that viral video. I don't know if you saw that of the sports anchor doing the weather when there was a hurricane or something. And it was absolutely, dying.
I had to do that. I was on top of it. And my wife and my mother-in-law always make fun of me, because in Baton Rouge, when Hurricane Ike came through and Hurricane Gustav, I was on top of a Walmart with a camera, like videoing people in line for MREs, meals ready to eat, for the military was out there. And like, to me, it was nuts. I'd never been, you know, in a hurricane before. And I mean, there was a legit calm before the storm. I was driving into work and I was the only car on the road because we had media passes to be on the road. And there was nobody on the road for 5 minutes. I sat at a stop sign for 5 minutes and watched it just back and forth. It was the craziest thing. And then to see the aftermath, I mean, we have tornadoes, we don't have hurricanes. That's like, if a tornado ripped through like everywhere, I mean, it was, it's nuts. So to see him out there in that cold weather, it's like, I understand, like, sports will get cut first though, as he found out. And I found out.
Now, one thing that's kind of cool, this is a true story. I got to walk Lee Smith and Ray Burris back to Club 400 Chicago. There's a little kind of place that we have around there. And I was watching the end of a game with Lee Smith and Ray Burris, and they're kind of talking as the game's kind of happening about everything going on. Do you see yourself, do you have those conversations during the game? Like, is it fun? Do you get to like watch the game, say with Dempster or Sud or Cliff Floyd? Oh, yeah. Or is there a lot of talking going on, and do you pick up a lot of different things that when they're watching a game with you?
Absolutely. I mean, we sit in the middle of our marquee studio, like not in the studio, we sit in the middle of the building. Like, there's a big screen TV. We sit around, we eat lunch, we eat dinner, watch the game. You know, I normally change back into comfortable clothes, whether it's, you know, in the summertime, it's shorts and a hoodie. And when it's not summertime, it's jeans and a hoodie. So, you know, that's primarily my uniform. So I change back into that. And then I'll change back into a shirt, tie, and a sport coat, you know, the top half of what I wore for pregame. And then we'll do the seventh inning hit, you know, the FanDuel hit, like, okay, what's the line looking like? What do you think, you know, over under 2.5 runs for the remainder of the game? Like, you know, whether it's Cliff or, you know, it's Demp or whoever it is with me, you know, we'll do that. And then we'll go back and we'll finish watching the game. We'll probably, you know, bottom of the eighth, we'll come back out, get mic'd up again, and we'll be ready to roll.
It's like I said, it's something else. And so, you know, kind of circling back to where I started, first time I see you, 2020 Cubs Con, you know, you're just kind of on the stage waving your hand, you know, with the rest of the crew. And then all of a sudden, you know, no Cub Con. I mean, you had a weird year to kind of start a network as far as the pandemic, no fans in the games and all that stuff. But now you're sitting here and you were emceeing opening ceremonies, and you kind of touched on it a little bit before. Just how amazing is it to just kind of be behind the scenes with, I mean, you're talking Fergie Jenkins, Billy Williams, Lee Smith, Ryan, all those guys. I mean, that just has to be electric for you to kind of be there, like a pinch myself moment.
Without a doubt. And I feel like every time I get to interact with those guys, like I've got a picture that's right there from our Icons of the Ivy show, where it was Andre Dawson, Ryan Sandberg, Billy Williams, Lee Smith. Who else? Who am I forgetting? Fergie Jenkins, 267 complete games. I mean, how do I forget that off the top? It's right there for me to sit there and be in the presence of greatness. I mean, these guys are just you go around the horn and just think of all the accomplishments that they've been able to check off the list. And I mean, just to be able to talk baseball with all these guys whenever, and you know. I mean, look, Fergie comes through and he does shows, and he came through one day and he gave Carlos Pena a Fergie Jenkins wristband with his face on it. So he comes through in the middle of the show, because Fergie was going to a game, and Fergie can do things like that because he's a Hall of Famer. Like we said, 267 complete games. I mean, like I said, most cats would really want to pitch 267 games, period, let alone right. 67 CGs. I mean, just that's mind-boggling, but so he walks in, gives Carlos a wristband, and I kind of look off, and I'm like, oh, okay. Fergie, it's cool. Don't worry. I didn't want one of those wristbands either. You know, a Hall of Fame wristband from a Hall of Famer. So the day goes by. Next day we're doing the show, Carlos and I. In walks Fergie, gives me two wristbands.
Oh.
I mean, the fact that he would come back and not even just give me one, but give me two, and he's like, hey, give the other one to your daughter. And it's, I mean, just to have stories like that, like, my daughter has all these things that she sees, and I think she's starting to realize, but now that she knows, like, hey, this wristband was given to my dad by the actual dude on the wristband, you know? Right. And I mean, just to be able to have conversations with Billy, I mean, Billy Williams and I sat at spring training last year, and he talked about how he and Willie Mays and Willie McCovey and just a whole bunch of different guys would go down in Mobile, and they would have batting practice before spring training. And they didn't have an L screen, so they'd pitch to each other, and they'd have to, you know, spray it around. You couldn't hit it up the middle because you didn't want to hit one of those future Hall of Famers. But could you imagine just like riding as a kid, riding your bike by that baseball park and seeing all those dudes out there taking BP? Like, what? And just the fact that he's sitting there telling me these stories. He told me a story how him and his brother barnstormed with Satchel Paige, and Satch gave him each $5 to go get on a train back in the day. And it's like, what? I mean, you're hearing these stories about, you know, I mean, it's like 6 degrees of separation, but only 2 degrees of separation from baseball greatness, from baseball greatness. It's like you're hearing a story from a baseball legend like Satchel Paige, from Billy Williams, one of the best left-handed hitters of all time. So those moments never get lost on me. And, you know, to be able to have those and be able to share some of those moments with those guys and make moments that I'll be able to share with my daughter and she'll be able to share when she gets older, it's pretty neat.
Now, you know, Marquee is on literally 24/7 in my house. It's probably the only thing I watch. I was just wondering.
I'm sure you're sick of hearing my voice then, man, because sometimes if I get home and it's on sometimes, I'll make sure I turn it down. So I'm like, oh, I'll leave it on, you know, but I'll turn it down. So I'm like, I can't hear my own voice all the time like that.
Well, no, you know, you're going to laugh because, like, you know, I always tell my wife, you know, I'm going to do an interview with so-and-so. And, you know, most of the time doesn't really do anything. But when I said Cole Wright, she's like, I know him. How do I know him? I'm like, he's the guy on the TV. So she's all laughing and excited about that. But, you know, obviously the pre and post games are, you know, are kind of when you're center stage. But what would you say are some of the other programs that you've hosted that are some of your favorite? Like, what do you really like? Man, I really love this program. I really think this is good content.
Well, I mean, Icons of the Ivy, you know, every single installment, and most recently that, and this, we have one that's getting cooked up. Mark Grace and I sat down, and it was scheduled for a half an hour, and I'm like, there's no way There's no way we're only going to be able to go a half an hour, and they had to cut it short at an hour, but we could have easily gone two. I mean, it's going to be fantastic because Gracie, I mean, he has a story for everything, and he's a great storyteller. And I love Mark Grace, man. You know, he's one of the guys I grew up watching. I mean, I played first base, not left-handed, but you still watch how he went about his business, man. The cat could swing it, and he's always a ball of energy when he comes through, and he's always fun to do shows with. So once again, you know, these guys that I grew up watching as a kid, like if I could go back and tell 11-year-old version of me, 10-year-old version of me, like here's what you get to do when you grow up. Like, I think that version of me would be pretty tripped out.
You know, an obvious shirt, the best-selling shirt of the weekend was Dunston to Sandberg to Grace. And you're on stage at the moment where both of those guys, you know, Dunston hasn't done a lot of conventions lately, and Grace, he works for Arizona sometimes, and he hasn't been to a lot of conventions. To see two guys like that.
Gracie hasn't been to one convention since he left the Cubs.
I think he was at one. I want to say one, and I want to say it was like 2007 or 8, right around there, but just one. Just one. So to see those.
He told me he hadn't been to any, so.
Well, so when we sit here and we take a look at this here, man, to see those two guys back together on stage. I mean, I was in the first row. I talked to you a little bit, and that was just unreal. And you had a front seat to Ryan Sandberg getting the statue announced. Like you said, stories that are going to go on that you're just always going to have. And from one Camp Cup fan to another, to see you being able to enjoy this, I live sometimes vicariously through you and just like, oh, that's so awesome. Cole got to do that. But as a Cup fan and somebody that loves Marquee, man, you know, I'm just so happy to see everything that you guys are doing. And I just expect bigger and better things coming from Marquee. When is that Grace going to premiere? Do you know?
I don't know, but it's in the works. So I feel like everything that our team's able to put together, I mean, it's award worthy. We took home a few Emmys at this most recent edition of the awards show, and you know, I'm really proud of the team that we have at the network. You know, whether it's, you know, at the very top, you know, Mike McCarthy, Mike Santini, those guys, you know, they run a well-oiled ship, and they're fantastic to work for. And, you know, our production team, you know, Nick and Malik, you know, those guys, you know, they hold it down. Whether it's Miller or Norman, those guys hold it down. And everybody in editing, just the whole team. It's a great place to work. I mean, I've worked at a lot of places that we talked about, and you know, I've worked, you know, at a lot of great places, and this is the best. And it's, and not just that, but I get to work for the Cubs, man. You know, after every pre and post game show, after every pregame show, I walk across if it's weather permitting, you know, I walk across and I'll go just grab a seat or go up to the suite. Or, you know, we have Marquee has a suite, you know, we're lucky to watch from there. It's a bird's eye view. Or, you know, I'll go into the booth, and to be able to do that, you know, a kid that right after college, I lived on Clark and Wrightwood, and we used to try to, you know, bum as many tickets as we could, or, you know, see how we could get to a game for as little cost as possible. And now to be able to do that, it's like, it's pretty special.
I love it, man. Hey, thank you so much for coming on Fly the W, giving us your time. Looking forward to having you back in the future. And Cole, have a great 2023 season, and hopefully I see you in Arizona.
Absolutely. Likewise, probably I'll see you there, man. Thanks.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!